Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com.
NFL Week 3 got underway yesterday. Chris McCaffrey, it is official, going to miss a few weeks here with that hammy. So that's a bummer.
That's a blow for a 3-0 team.
It is. It sure is. They got the Cowboys next week.
Ooh. First L.
Sam Darnold, man. I mean, I know.
Solid.
I mean,
300 and some.
You know, for a guy that we kind of thought was on the outs of this league, it does go to show you the difference in system, right? The difference in coaching staff and what that can do for you.
It was interesting watching his post game last night because they asked him on the NFL Network, let's talk about the difference between New York and here. He didn't even want to talk about New York.
Yeah.
Didn't say a word about it. He said, I'm not talking about that.
Wow.
he's moved on. He's awesome.
It behind him. Yeah. I certainly do respect that. As Patty gets to 1-0, we're going for 6-0 this week. We certainly feel like it could happen. So let's go down the interesting games this week, the interesting slate in NFL Week 3. Chargers taking on the Chiefs in Kansas City. Kansas City Chiefs are a 6.5-point favorite.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes has a 16-2 record as a starter in division games in the AFC West. Over his NFL career, he got 35 touchdowns to just 8 picks in those games. One of those losses, of course, does belong to the Raiders.
Amazingly.
Since total QBR started being tracked in 2006, Patrick Mahomes is one of three quarterbacks with a 70-plus career QBR in division play, ahead of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, believe it or not. As much as Tom Brady ran that division for as long as he did, Patrick Mahomes' QBR is even better than his, which is quite fascinating. Would not have guessed that. The over has cashed in each of the past three games that both the Chiefs and Chargers have played at Arrowhead Stadium.
Okay.
Chargers covered the number in two of those three games.
But Mahomes and the Chiefs have not been good against the spread of late. Isn't that
they're 0-2 this year against the spread. Yep.
And this number, 7.
And
usually
and
I would say 6.5 now.
Yep.
All right. Usually I'd say jump all over, but that's not exactly – hadn't been a strength of theirs of late. I'm with you. I would go more of the over if I'm betting some on this game. Chiefs going to win, though.
Patty does have Chiefs minus 6.5 because I think this is the week where the Chiefs make a little bit of a statement.
No, I know you don't want to hear what I'm saying there because you want to go 2-0.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you're trying to limit me. You're trying to put a ceiling on me here.
I'm hoping you win.
Saints-Patriots, the great Jameis Winston's redemption tour continues. He has not thrown for over 230 yards yet, but
the New Orleans Saints.
Hey, who needs yards when you can just throw for 5 touchdowns and 65 yards?
Got to be able to see.
The Saints' 128 yards in Week 2 were the fewest that a Sean Payton coach Saints team has ever put up. That is quite something.
How many guys they have missing due to COVID and injuries?
Well, I know they have an explanation for it. They have never had fewer than 250 yards in multiple games in a season under Payton. I think that is certainly in jeopardy. This Patriots defense, I think, is going to feast on Jameis Winston. They probably will win the game. The Saints will.
Yes, they will.
Because the Patriots offense just is not there yet.
Think and don't.
But I do think the defense is going to have their way a little bit with Jameis. So there you go for that one. Washington Bills. This is another one. This is a pick in Patty's picks.
The Washington football team.
Washington plus 7.5. We love the hook. We absolutely love the hook here. This Washington defense came into the season with such high hopes. I mean, with that defensive line and everything they did last year.
Sweat looks like, from what I've watched, Montez Sweat's play well, but Chase Young has not.
Yes.
Chase Young has not played up to his potential.
They are 25th in the NFL in yards allowed, and they are 17th in the NFL in points allowed. Now, the Bills' offensive line is kind of patched together here, so there is going to be an opportunity for Chase Young and Sweat, as you mentioned, and Jonathan Allen to make some waves here. We got Washington plus 7.5. How about this? Washington has lost 5 straight road games at Buffalo, and they have all been by double digits. Last road win came in 1987. However, Washington has won 3 of its past 5 as an underdog outright, and the football team went 4-1 against the spread in each of those games. So what does that say? We're feeling good about plus 7.5. The undefeated streak for Patty continues. Oh, buddy. We got a big one in Cleveland.
Go ahead.
Justin Fields' first career start in the NFL, not counting preseason.
The Chicago Bears.
Did he ever start a preseason game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say he did. He started the second or third.
This is his first start as a Bears quarterback. He is only the Chicago Bears' 36th different starting quarterback since 1989.
That's all?
God.
Yes.
It's I think the Browns are worse, though, right?
They
Maybe.
Are.
Yeah.
By one.
Well, are they?
Look at that.
They have 37.
How about that?
Damn.
And I didn't even see that.
That's
you didn't
surprising.
Show me that. You didn't tell me that.
I think I think it just speaks to the amount of talent that the Bears have had. So many different options at quarterback. You know, they've just nailed it every time.
And yet none of them cried.
No.
So what was that supposed to mean? You know, you just can't let things go, can you?
They had
so good.
They had their locker rooms won over at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They were bad, though.
I mean, Derek Carr leads the league.
I don't know. Cordell might have cried, though, because it got pretty bad for Cordell Stewart when he was a Bear. So I might have misspoke.
Was it worse for him in Chicago or Pittsburgh, though?
Dude, it was awful with us.
Really?
Now, part of that is because our line was so bad. Cordell had some good years in Pittsburgh.
I don't understand.
He had none in Chicago.
I don't understand why y'all are so happy to go damn lucky about the Cubs, but y'all want to trash your football team.
Was Cutler the longest tenured of that crew of quarterbacks that we're speaking of in that span from the 80s? I guess Cutler.
Rex Grossman?
Grossman? It's probably Cutler.
Eric Kramer was there for a little while, but in terms of longest tenure,
he's really good.
Cutler's probably going to be up.
Probably
Kramer,
the longest.
Kramer, we got from Detroit, actually set some passing records for us.
Kramer was a monster.
He threw for, I want to say, 1 year like 4,000.
100%.
Yeah.
Came over from Detroit. You remember Eric Kramer?
I do. Oh, yeah.
Kramer was a good quarterback.
Of course, he had a decent arm. Yeah.
Had a good career.
Yeah,
they still talk about him, man. I mean, Eric Kramer.
Stop. Now, they don't talk about him. I thought you actually understood, but it was sarcasm the whole time.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You should look up his career stats.
He actually has a bunch
of Bears records for passing.
The Bears are 7-0-2 against the spread against the AFC North over the past decade, and they have covered their last 3 games.
That's called owning the AFC North.
Now,
do you
expect that to continue?
Man, we damn near lost to Cincinnati last week.
Well, it was it
stop. They had every chance in the world to make that a game.
Did they have the ball at the end?
Had a chance there.
No,
at
they
end.
Nailed it. I mean, the Bears.
No, Fields had to pick up a key first down for us to put that game away, John.
Oh yes, but I mean, y'all still had the game in hand.
Not after Chase got that touchdown. It was scary there for a minute.
Yeah. What's your prediction?
Pain.
Oh, you think
for Justin Fields?
You think the Browns bring the pain?
Yeah, I think Boogie. I'm gonna put out the. It's gonna be nothing but pain. Unfortunately for Justin Fields,
strange.
That's a good defense, so they'll be coming after you. They know too that you are a rookie quarterback who has not seen anything yet at this point in your career. So they're gonna try to fool him with the coverages, throw a bunch of different looks at him. And because of our offensive line and its problems, it's been decent as a run-blocking unit. It's been awful, as you would expect, as a pass-blocking unit.
Yep.
And they're going to throw everything they've got at that line as they try to protect Justin. He's going to get hit. He just got to get ready for it. Hopefully it's not, a Joe Burrow situation where he gets seriously injured and then you really lose. It's a setback because you lose some developmental time this season.
So
we're going to lose, and I expect Cleveland to actually cover.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, wow. Little protection emotionally there. I
remember that I'm a guy who wants Nagy out of there, so that would actually be good news.
Yeah. Colts Titans. It's an interesting one. Sounds like Carson Wentz is actually going to play.
The Tennessee Titans.
How?
I don't know. He has 2 sprained ankles.
Well, you don't need to really necessarily walk, just try to throw.
I mean,
if you know the rule. If you got 2 sprained ankles, you got none.
None.
That's right. Yeah, that's
you have no
it's
ankles.
A terrific point,
you
Jason.
You have 0 ankles.
Yeah, it's 0.
That's what Terry Bradshaw says.
The
Titans are facing a Colts run defense who Jason said was a very good unit coming into this year. But they are allowing 120 yards a game.
Well, they had, much like Washington, they've underachieved so far this season.
Colts are terrible.
Over the last three seasons, the Colts' run defense allowed 100 or more rushing yards three times. They're already allowing 120 yards per game on the ground this year.
Did you see them talking about tackling Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Said they got to get 7 or 8 to the ball every time.
That's right.
They're talking about that all week long.
That's right. Derrick Henry picked up 100 more yards in each of his past three games facing the Colts.
I don't understand why like Titans fans like Bennett are so scared of this one.
So strange.
Maybe it's just that history with the Colts owning you when there was Andrew
Because
Luck.
The Colts are 8-1 outright in their last 9 trips to Tennessee.
Stop.
Titans look good in that last game, though.
That's after Luck, though?
Yeah,
they haven't taken that back?
8-1 probably includes a little bit of Luck, right?
Quite a bit of
Think
it,
about
would,
that Seattle
guess.
Win last weekend, though. Like, to get out of there with a win, I realize you got hosed on a couple. They look good.
And then became sort of looked like the team at the end of that game that we expected them to be. And so you come
That's
out of that
good
one.
Team.
Confident winning in it. I think so. I think it's more that team at the end of that Seattle game than it was against Arizona. They needed time to come together.
Working
that thing
the receivers
was,
in.
It was so broken up during the preseason, especially offensively. You saw Julio and Tannehill getting more comfortable this past week.
Well,
that will continue.
Had a touchdown.
AJ,
Hey,
do you see what DeNico and all those guys are doing? That defense is a little bit better, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's
Didn't
not
look like against Arizona.
Away.
It's good.
Yeah. I mean, they.
I told you it was the Kyler Murray effect.
The secondary still sucks.
Yeah, we haven't got my guy Caleb in there yet.
Yeah, and that's not going to change
and
this
Christian
week.
Fulton
They're banged
is just,
up. They do have offensive line problems. I mean, they got a guard, and then they got Luan out, right?
Luan's playing this week.
Is he playing?
But we ran that ball last week, though, without
exactly.
him.
We'll figure it out. The Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Arizona Cardinals. The Jaguars have lost 17 straight. With a loss, they would tie the 1972-73 Houston Oilers for the fifth longest losing streak in NFL history. Arizona has covered each of his past three games against Jacksonville, and the Jags have failed to cover each of their past three games as a home underdog, and that is why we have them as the lock of the week, the Patty's Padlock, -7.
Nice.
Yeah, that's playtime for Kyler there.
Good pick there, Jay. I like that, John.
I mean, you know, obvious ones, you know, the betting gods laugh in your face, right?
Yeah.
This is going to come down to a field goal. I kind of feel it.
No, it won't. No, it won't.
Raiders-Dolphins. Raiders right now, I believe, are back down to -4. Las Vegas leads the NFL with a 38.4% run stop win rate this year. How about that?
Your defense,
as bad as they were last
defense
year.
Is much improved. I got to give Gruden credit for that.
It's a great team.
Very active. Who is your defense coordinator?
Gus Bradley.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they upgraded that.
Yes, they
certainly
did. Yes, they did.
The under has hit just one time in Vegas since the Raiders relocated. So that's,
damn under killed me last night.
I would not recommend taking the over in this game, but, I mean, stats are stats for a reason. We get to 3-0. We'll be 3-0 for the first time
since Super Bowl
2002.
Appearance.
Wow. That's exactly right. Game of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Bucks at Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Tampa Bay -1.5 right now. Both of these teams, I mean, this could be an NFC championship game preview. Tom Brady has 9 passing touchdowns this year through 2 games. Matt Stafford looks like a brand new man in L.A. His 599 passing yards are the second most through 2 games by a Rams quarterback over the last 20 seasons.
Okay.
Who is the other? Who's number one?
Last 20 seasons?
Yeah, in L.A. I guess it would have been St. Louis. That counts, right?
Yeah. Warner?
Good as guess as any.
He goes Warner?
No, I'll just stick Warner.
Sam Bradford.
Oh, I forgot about Bradford.
I've never gotten it. It was
you know
Bradford.
What? Bradford did
when he was,
pretty good when he got
was
in
healthy.
There. When he was healthy,
problem
he just never
he
got
could
healthy.
Never stay healthy.
He never got healthy.
Sam Bradford had 651 yards in 2013.
Ah, well, that would have gone on and on. And I said no way Sam Bradford did that.
He got him to the playoffs. I mean, he was competent.
Cooper Kupp can become the fourth player in the Super Bowl era with 100 receiving yards and a touchdown reception in each of the first 3 games in a season. The other players who have done that, Randy Moss in 07, Marvin Harrison in 99, Jerry Rice in 89, and the homie Dwight Clark in 1982.
Best wide receiver since?
Adam Thielen.
I would say. It's that recent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say Steve Largent.
Yeah, Tampa Bay has covered.
Yeah, I like Steve Largent up in Seattle.
Well, there have been better.
Yeah,
I mean, Wes Welker got to get some love, right?
Oh, now you want to stop and come back. No, there's been some.
I'm just saying,
receivers.
You don't get to just gloss over the rest that have come through, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's go back to that.
Yeah, Steve Largent.
You want to put your man Cole Beasley on here?
No.
I'm very disappointed in Cole Beasley this season.
I'm about to drop him in fantasy. I don't even know why I took his unvaccinated self.
Tampa Bay has covered 8 of its past 11 games dating back to last season. And I know this because they made me a lot of money in the playoffs. But L.A. has covered 7 of its past 8 against the Bucks. Something's got to give.
I don't know which side. I mean, I'm picking Rams just because I think that's where I've been. You know, Rams been good to me this season, but it could go either way.
Man,
this is a true,
it is.
And I have it. I had it in our predictions. This is my NFC Championship game. I think last year won, 27-24 by the Rams?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, Brady wants this one. Brady could be looking past to next week, though.
That's right.
You see all this focus on next week and going back to Foxborough.
Yes. Yep.
That's true. But I think he's just going to kill them. He ain't worried about them. Packers at 49ers. That's on Sunday night.
Oh, that's a big one for me.
The Green Bay Packers.
It's a big one for the 49ers, man. And the Packers. Quite frankly.
Well, for the 49ers, it's if this is you prove it, is that what you're saying?
The 49ers are fifth in the league in pass rush wins. Green Bay has allowed 5 sacks for the first 2 games, and they do not have their left tackle, David Bakhtiari. So it could be a long day for Aaron here. Good thing is he doesn't have to stay in the pocket. We know he can navigate a little bit outside of it. Packers have covered 4 of their past 5 in the week after a Monday night game.
Yes. So that's what I like to hear.
That could help. I think this is
it still 3? Is it up to 3.5? It's going to stay down at 3, isn't it?
I think it is down to 3, yeah. But you said by the hook, right?
I said by the hook and get it up to 3.5.
There you go.
Yeah, so by the hook. Anyway, that'll be a fascinating game on Sunday night. And then on Monday night, wrapping up with a divisional battle here, Philadelphia Eagles at the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Through 2 games, the Dallas Cowboys have 35 plays of 10 or more yards. That's the 3rd most in the NFL.
I got this one.
The Eagles have not allowed many big plays in their first 2 games. With only 19 going for 10 yards or more. That's the 3rd fewest. Again, something's got to give. Dak does not typically play well against the Eagles. He has 7 picks in 8 games against them. That's his most against any opponent. This Eagles team is better than I think people were giving them credit for to start the season. The home team has covered each of the past 5 matchups in this series. Home team this time is Dallas. Last road cover came in 2018 by the Dallas Cowboys. So that is your – oh, here's a good one.
Jalen Hurts is overrated. Like, everybody acting this man is the best quarterback in the league.
Can he be overrated yet? I don't know if
people love him. They talk about him in ways they shouldn't.
Jalen Hurts has 416 rushing yards and 6 career starts. That's the 3rd most ever by a quarterback in 6 starts behind Lamar and Tim Tebow.
And they're running him. They got to throw it.
Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback. I've seen enough.
They think so.
He's the guy in Philly. He's composed. He doesn't make stupid decisions.
Yeah.
He can throw the ball pretty damn accurately. He's the man in Philly. And I think he's going to put up a really good show. I think it's going to be a great Monday night. You got 2 great in Monday night games.
You know who's coming after him? His nickname is the Terminator.
Who's that?
Michael Parsons. He said that Jalen's next on his list.
He's got him on the wall.
You don't see this kind of talk anymore from defenders.
Man is on the wall.
I love this. I love this from Micah Parsons.
They'll put him out there on the edge.
Here's the thing. Baldinger had a breakdown of Parsons in that Chargers game, and he's playing out of position.
Sick player.
We saw it.
Yes, everywhere
this
on the field.
This dude is a phenom.
Yes. No, he's a stud.
Next big-time defensive player in the league is Micah Parsons. Right, already arrived, it
Man,
seems like
Dallas
to me.
Man, that Dallas defense ain't scaring nobody, though.
Bro, Micah Parsons is scaring people. Go look at the film.
Van Der Esch is good.
Jalen's going to have a huge game against them, bro.
I can't wait for this game.
Jalen's going to have a huge game.
See, here's
who do you
thing.
Like in the game? You like the Eagles?
I've said Cowboys. Yeah. He likes the Eagles because that's his upstart surprise team.
Yes. Okay. I don't have him in this week's pick.
All right.
Micah Parsons, Jalen ain't going to get to the sideline without Micah. Because Micah can go sideline to sideline.
He
gets
up
the field.
Bro, dude is awesome.
Jalen Hurts, he's going off.
Guaranteed. We'll have the game here on the station,
too. This is what Jalen Hurts does, man. He's a big game quarterback.
Man,
unless
Dallas
it's the national championship.
Man.
Other than that, he's going to be a big game quarterback. I think it's going to be a huge day for him. I'm excited about it. Monday night. That's your guide, though. That is your guide to week 3 in the NFL. We'll come back. Jermaine Johnson going to join us. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball.
Starting practice next week.
Memphis Madness. Get us also on the roster. All that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
His name is Coach Jermaine Johnson. He's a former University of Memphis assistant. We are hoping he's going to be a regular for us because there'll be few that know more about this basketball team. This season, this Memphis basketball team, then Jermaine Johnson. We're hoping he's going to join us regularly throughout the Tigers basketball season. Give us that inside look and that insight. He joins us now. Coach Johnson, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm great, man. How you guys doing?
Everything is great. Looking forward, obviously, to Memphis' season starting up. You know, Madness coming up. You know the whole thing. You went through it last year. In terms of your We'll get into this season and breaking down guys and all that. But in terms of how high that ceiling is for Memphis this season, how high do you go, Coach Johnson?
It's a great question, Jason. I think the higher you go, I think the sky's not the limit. I think the sky's actually in that team weight. So that's how high. It's not the sky. It's beyond the sky. And they control their own destiny. They're their own pilots.
Is that because of the mix in terms of – tell me why, Coach. Is that because they've got that returning mix of experience? You bring in the talent, the coaching staff, all that stuff. Tell me – and we're talking a team capable of winning a national title? That high?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about – and I'm going to get to your question, but if you look at last year's team, they could have beat Houston twice, which went to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And so practically you say, okay, Houston went to the Final Four. Memphis went down to the wire with a Houston team that was very, very good, and they was in the Final Four. Well, what that say about Memphis team last year? Now you add more experienced guys, synergy, chemistry, a hungerness, and then you add more talent to it. You tell me.
Yeah.
That's what we think, that it's a heck of a mix this season.
In terms of, you know, and this is just what sort of people will say, Jermaine, about, you know, because there's really, you can't really poke any holes in the talent. I mean, the assembly of talent here is just, it's undeniable. But I guess what you will hear in terms of the challenge for Penny is, you know, figuring out how to sort of keep everybody happy and on the same accord. Penny has done that, you know, in the last several years, despite, you know, challenges that have happened on the court. How do you sort of see that going, though, with this roster? And is the challenge greater, or is this just more of what Penny is already used to?
That's another great question. I think it starts with your culture. You hear coaches say all the time, I got to get our guys to buy in. Well, if those guys have the mindset to believe in first, because you cannot buy in until you believe in. Once they get that mindset, we all believe in, and that will automatically produce buy-in. And so when those guys bought into the culture, and you hear that name derived all over the place, culture. Well, the culture, it drives expectations and beliefs, which you guys are alluding to. Expectations and beliefs drive behavior. Then behavior drives habits. Then habits create the future. And it all starts with the culture. And I think if they can go through that process, then the national championship that this city is, that this the diehard fans, the alums, and the players within itself, they will be able to achieve that.
Coach, how are the more experienced guys, right, like Landers and Lester, who was so big for you last season, you know, and such a huge player for you on both ends, how are they going to, I suppose, handle is the proper way to ask. If the spotlight is on Imani or on Jalen Duren, you know what I'm saying? Because those are the guys that are established in your program. They've helped set that culture you were just talking about. Do you think, you know, if you're in a situation where Imani Bates for a couple of weeks is the headline, he's going crazy, and some of those guys aren't maybe getting the headlines they deserve as well, how will that be received by those guys? Are they ready for that if that happens?
I think their maturity is going to have to take place, and they got to ask themselves, they got to look in the mirror and ask them themselves, am I a giver or am I a taker? Mm. And so if I'm giving, then what do I give besides, we all know Landers Dolly can shoot the mess out of the basketball. We know he can score the ball. So we know he can give that, but can he sacrifice? That's sacrificial giving. He got to sacrifice his ego. He has to sacrifice even shots. He got to even sacrifice notoriety for the other players that they're going to get that with all the media attention, NBA scouts. He got to sacrifice all of that. And so that's a tough deal, but if he's able to look himself or whomever are able to look themselves in the mirror and say, I have to be a giver rather than a taker, then I think it all coincides and everybody would be happy.
Isn't that, you know, it's talking about Landers specifically, right? Like, isn't that a pretty easy sell to a guy like that, though? Because he's in a program now where, like, there is going to be major eyeballs. You're going to have this pro day. Yeah. How many programs? I mean, they weren't having pro days at Virginia Tech, where he, you know, his other two schools that he considered when he transferred, Ole Miss and Georgia, they ain't having pro days at those places. He's going to be on TV all the time, and he's going to be winning, right? I mean, what better sell is there? You know, he's still going to have a major. We're just using him as an example, but like. And that really applies to everybody, whether it's Lester, whether it's Alo, whether it's DeAndre. Like, your exposure is going to be, you know, doubled by what Penny has done with this roster.
Oh, absolutely. And that's going to be a hard feat, you know, for a player that was ACC, all ACC player. Last year, he's our only returning player that's coming back that has an all-league accolade.
Right.
And now you bring in two potential top five picks, along with a very, very talented supporting cast, along with Earl Timberlake.
Yep.
So, again, he's going to have the spotlight on him, and people are watching to see what type of attitude is he going to have. Because I think if he have a positive attitude, and life is 90% of how you react to it, rather than going through it itself, you have to be able to be positive. And I think if you have a positive attitude, Leonard's going to be able to shoot the basketball and score. He's going to be able to get transition buckets just based off their defense, because that's going to create offense. And if he can be give selfless, be more selfless and be selfless, the sky's going to be in his way as well, because he's a 6'7" guard that's very, very talented. But I think the scout's going to be hunting in on, is he's going to be a great teammate? Is he going to be a giver, a cheer? All the intangible things, because the talent is there.
JJ, we're leaving the atmosphere here. You know, we got a couple of situations. You know, the team's leaving the atmosphere. Like, we're going into the solar system at this point, kind of sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I continue to hear really good things, and I have heard really good things all off season about Lester Quinones, and we've seen, you know, because of what he does on both sides of the court, you know, just how much Penny trusts him. What kind of jump do you think a guy like Lester Quinones can make as a junior, the last sort of piece of that, you know, that 2019 class? What kind of jump do you think a guy like Lester can make, JJ?
I think he can make a big jump, because there's so many areas that he has probably improved on in the summer, and especially in the preseason. But he left a lot on it. He left a lot on the table last year. I mean, due to COVID, basically, because his season was paused. His off season probably wasn't as he would like it, because of the protocols and safety in terms of his regimen of being the best version of himself. So I think this year you're going to see a whole another animal in Lester Quinones. I mean, he has that mindset. He's a pit bull. He's a gorilla. And so you're going to be able to see more from him. And the good thing about him, Lester Quinones will play the five if he have to.
Yep.
That's how tough mentally he is. And then he's tough physically. So I think you're going to see a whole nother beast in Lester Quinones. And that's kind of good, because he's flying under the radar. Everybody's talking about the incoming guys, then – you know, obviously DeAndre, the playmaker DeAndre and Earl and those guys. And then, you know, obviously Chandler Lawson, people forget it. He played in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Lawson played in the Pac-12, and nobody's talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Lawson is a 6'9 point guard that has a high IQ. Nobody's talking about him. And so how can you key in on all those guys? And then Lester Quinones coming in, oh, my God, it's going to be unreal.
How do you foresee Earl Timberlake fitting in? Like, what all do you see him doing for this team this season, Coach?
Leadership. I see him going to the offensive glass. I see him posting up smaller defenders. I see him, if he had to play it the four position, I see him going by slow, methodical bigs. I see him running the lanes. I see him being a high percentage free throw shooter, because he's gonna get fouled a lot, and I think because he's such an exceptional passer, that's a part of his game that a lot of people don't really hone in on. And he's a really good passer.
And in terms of And I got to ask you, Coach, I'd be remiss if I'm not to. I know Penny had said, look, Jermaine and I were on a 1 year, but like listening to you talk about him right now and how high the limit is for these guys and how there is no limit, I mean, I have to ask you, not being in there and being a part of this season, is there any bitterness toward it? Do you just root for the best? And what was that conversation with Penny like, Coach? Because I know if you had your choice, you'd be right back in there.
I tell you this, I was at a clinic. I was at a clinic about 10 years ago, and Lenny Acuff said, there are two type of coaches. There are two type of coaches you get in this profession, coaches that'll be hired and coaches that'll be fired. Now, here's the good thing about that. I was one of those coaches. I was hired, but I'm a coach that's uncommon. I was the coach that was expired. Now, here's the thing about expiration.
You're talking about that one.
Here's the thing about expiration. Here's the thing. He gave me an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful.
I hear you, Coach.
He gave me my dream job. And the thing about expiration is I was like that milk. That's my guy. That's my friend. That's my brother. And he had his best season, his third year, and I was a part of that. Just so happened, it's like milk. When you got good milk, milk does a body good, but obviously it has an expiration date. And you never know. You never know. You just never know what the future holds. And so I want to leave in good grace. I'm just glad I wasn't fired. I'm glad I was hired at an opportune time in November. And we had a great run. And they hadn't won an NIT championship since 2009. But I'm rooting for him. And if he ever was to call my phone again, I'm ready to take the challenge again. But now our conversation was good. Our conversation was good. You know, due to the G League and to Overtime Elite, you know, those guys are putting a big time emphasis on NBA. And so Penny Hardaway wants to coach those guys mm-hmm. that want to play in the best league in basketball. And so our conversation was good. I used to listen to y'all radio show and y'all thought I was gone a long time ago, but I wasn't. I was still a part. And so my contract ended in April, but guess what? I went past my expiration date. My last day, obviously, and truthfully, was August the 31st. And so I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful for Coach. He's going to do well. He's done right by me. So I'm going to be rooting from afar.
Well, that's definitely good to hear. You know, you mentioned the staff. Yeah. You know, it's now got Larry Brown and Rasheed Wallace on it, and you sort of alluded to it, so I guess that kind of feeds into it, but he's built this sort of this fortress of NBA. Everywhere you look, there's an NBA connection some way or another. What do you make of you know, this cast that he's put together at Memphis?
I think it's a really, really good staff. You know, him being a leader, he got a vision. With Larry Brown, he's won at every level. He's a basketball god. I mean, anytime you can add a guy of his expertise, his wisdom, his knowledge. He'd had his successes, he'd had his failures. So, I mean, he's going to be able to be that in-between person. And then Cody Topper, he has a great basketball pedigree. He's a hungry guy. Just got into the collegiate ranks, but he's hungry. He got a burning desire to be successful. And so he's going to work. He's going to burn the midnight oil to help Coach be successful. Now, I don't know too much about Rasheed Wallace. I think Rasheed Wallace, a really good, fiery NBA player. I think he brings great energy. He'll be able to help with the bigs. And so it's a good staff. I know he had a video coordinator that was at Memphis with Pastner and Auburn with Bruce Pearl. And so I think it's good. New strength coach. I mean, so I think it's good.
I want to go back to you, Coach, because I'd heard – that and from a couple of different folks that you were the best interview for the head job over at Lemoyne Owen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on my info and all that, but they obviously end up deciding to go a different direction, sort of like that Penny direction, getting Bonzi and you know whatever that deal was. I know Rasheed had said at first that plan was for him, but that you had interviewed for that job and you were the best interview. I've watched you coach at all levels, high school as well, saw you back in those. What do the opportunities look like for you right now? Because we know that this is your calling. What will you do in the meantime or for right now? What are those options looking like?
I got some opportunities. I've turned down two opportunities. I'm just walking by faith right now.
I
know with my beliefs, I know that God will land me where he wants me to be. And so I'm just staying faithful. I'm staying prayerful. And I'm ready to get back to work. You know how much I love the game of basketball. And we'll see where that be at in 21 and 22. But for right now, I guess I'm a free agent. So I'm just staying optimistic. So we'll see.
Did that look like the potential in terms of that job over LeMoyne, something that you thought you'd – you know what I'm saying? And was
absolutely. But and that's a great question. I think I did interview. I felt like it was my job. I mean, that was my carnal feeling. But when I look at things in hindsight, some of your best singers never made the Apollo Theater. Some of your best singers, some of your best entertainers never ever graced the stage of the Apollo. And so just because I probably was the better qualified candidate, oftentimes politics come into play.
Politics.
And so,
I got you.
Yeah, politics. Not politics, but politics. And so I think, the political part of that thing, man, didn't work out. But, hey, I wish them well. And I think Bonds and Wells will do an unbelievable job because he's played at the highest level. He can bring them immediate notoriety with his with his NBA pedigree, and William Anderson, the AD over there, he's a great guy. They got things heading in the right direction. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity they gave me to interview.
Well, JJ, this segment feels like it's going to be very educational. And
there ain't no question about it.
LeMoyne's loss is certainly, the show's gain. So we certainly appreciate the time.
Thankful to have you,
this.
Coach, and know you'll end up
Man,
where you're supposed to be.
I appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir.
Man, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
He is Jermaine Johnson, former University of Memphis assistant, and going to be joining us throughout the college basketball season to help us sort of break down and make sense of what's going on with the Memphis basketball team. So
looking forward to it. He knows that team inside and out.
So
we'll have a little extra insight.
Coach is hired, fired, expired,
Politics.
Politics.
He should have got the job in LeMoyne.
Well, I mean, they gave it to Bonds.
This is
on the quotes alone, I would have given him the job.
Absolutely.
I mean, this guy is SpaceX, for God's sakes.
I mean, they are
stratosphere. We're going to find out if Bonzi can coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember, he was going to be assistant. Rasheed was going to do it at first. He's talking about all the help he needs.
Yeah.
We already knew Jermaine could.
He can do it.
He's not, so they decide to go a different direction. We'll see if it if it was the right choice or not. I know Jermaine can coach, though.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to Jermaine for joining us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap it up here on a Friday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Carson Wentz is practicing, Jason.
How?
First time this week. I don't know, man. I do not know.
What a physical specimen he is. He's pushing through the pain.
If you're the Titans, right, would you rather face Carson Wentz on two sprained ankles or his healthy backups?
Who is it, Eason?
Eason and Brett Hundley.
I ain't worried about Hundley. I saw that mess.
Yeah.
In Green Bay.
Yeah. So who would you rather see?
I mean, I still take Eason.
Yeah.
Just because Wentz has the knowledge. Now, whether he can, get the ball there, avoid that sack, that hit, that's a whole other question. But at least he's got the knowledge.
I feel like the problem, I would rather play Wentz because he's hurt and he has not, looked very good.
So Jacob Eason looks like a future one?
The problem is,
I haven't seen that either.
You just don't have a lot of tape on him, right? You don't have a lot of film on him. And so,
the
element of surprise, you can adjust, but it's not like this Titans defense is that great. So I would rather see Carson Wentz, absolutely, no question about it. Wentz this year is...
He is a blowtorch.
45 of 69, 498 yards, and 3 touchdowns with an interception. Winless this year in Indianapolis. He has been sacked 6 times and hit an additional 21 times in those 2 games. So he's already banged up, man. He's got a sprain.
Well, their line was a little bit banged up too. I think got a little bit healthier last week. But so,
yeah.
That was supposed to be one of their strengths this season. I think it will be at some point. It just may not be for Carson Wentz.
They said his ankles were heavily taped. Man, came out there like a mummy. He came out the practice tunnel like a mommy, just kind of waddling out there. All right, I'm here,
I don't see Carson likes to buy extra time and fight off tacklers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is a bad if he's out there, you know, not even close to 100%, you could really get him hurt even further. I doubted this when the Colts went out and got him.
What was the line on this?
It's five.
Is it five?
Or 5.5. I got it at five. Patty's picks was five. I don't know if it's gone up since then. I mean, all we can do is give you the lines the day of the game.
Sure.
If they change, you know, that's on you for, you know.
But that's even more reason to move that segment, though, to Fridays.
Right.
Is it not? Because the line moves so much and you're giving us picks on Thursday.
It obviously does.
By that time, it's like.
It takes off Thursday night opportunities for us, but, you know, that's.
I'm not a sports betting.
With that.
We're doing a lot more of this, obviously, and I'm a novice gambler, to be honest with you. It does seem advantageous when you see an early line to, like, that Dallas game, for example, 3.5. You want to jump early if you've got a low line.
Yeah. They move so fast. You know, like they'll open at
like a stock.
But
can it be a double-edged sword, though?
It could. You'd
get a number later on that you'd prefer to have as opposed to. So it can work
both
ways.
So, for example, I'm learning, guys. I mean,
To this point, though, the Rams opened as favorites over the Bucs. They opened as 1.5-point favorites. Well, now that line is completely flipped.
Wow.
Now the Bucs.
Oh, it's the other way now.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just a response to, you know, who the money's coming in on. You know, I mean, that's just that's kind of the way it goes. But, you know, Jeffrey does his picks on Friday, you know, because you want to do it as close to the game.
Somebody can go down and practice on Thursday.
Right. Yeah. You want to have as much information as you possibly can, you know. Mm-hmm. So I do think we are considering.
You don't think it's going to throw off Patty's timing, moving it over a day?
No, absolutely not.
It'd actually be advantageous, wouldn't it?
Maybe pick the Thursday game and we just kind of do that one and then go to Friday.
If we like the Thursday game, right? We don't always like the Thursday game.
It's nasty next week, too.
Who is it next week?
It's somebody bad. I just looked. I wanted to... so bad, it's barely worth mentioning.
By the way, if folks want to see the Patty's picks, I posted it on our website. It's at 929ESPN.com, all of John's. Yeah. And then,
1-0. Yeah. 1-0 so far.
Got that Carolina pick already.
Yep. You don't have Thursday yet?
No. But I can.
Jags, Bengals.
Told you.
Ooh, buddy.
Is that your padlock?
It's worse than Houston, Carolina.
That one will not get touched next week.
That's why I'd
already erased it from memory. It's that bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think the Titans get another win this week. I really do. I think they win. I think they cover.
Interesting.
You're getting a banged-up, limping Colts team right now. You know, you're in Nashville. At some point, you've got to exercise those demons. This needs to be the week.
It's called statement time.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's your division like it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Against a banged-up quarterback.
What are you talking about?
You got to go handle business, and hopefully that defense is ready to play.
Yeah, and you know, you...
Because offense going to come around.
You crap the bed in week one at home. You know, your fans deserve...
Against a team that you see is real.
Oh, that's true.
Arizona's real.
That's true. That was definitely not a fluky performance from Arizona. But yes, I mean, you definitely need to respond in your next home game with a big dub. I think you should do that.
Back at home.
And you got a chance. So I like the Titans to win. I like the Titans to cover. Congratulations. They'll be 2-1. I mean, is it 3-0? Of course it's not 3-0. But 2-1 beats the crap out of 1-2. So there you go. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Jermaine Johnson for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Jay Williams for hopping on in the first hour. T9 on Jeff Ritten next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.